afternoon and welcome to NATO for this press conference with the Secretary General, Lord Robertson. Lord Robertson will start with a statement and then we'll take questions right after that. When asking your questions, could you please identify yourself and your organization? Thank you very much, Secretary General.
Thank you. Today is an important day for NATO and an even more important one for the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. Today we're taking a historic step forward also for wider stability and security in the whole Balkans region. At 12 noon, the North Atlantic Council decided to authorize SACUR to issue the activation order for Operation Essential Harvest. On the 14th of June, a little more than 2 months ago, I received a letter from the president of the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Boris Trajkovski, asking for NATO's help in implementing a peace plan aimed at restoring peace and stability in his country. This was a call for assistance from a country with which NATO has a close relationship. It's a country which aspires to be a member of this alliance, a country which offered generous assistance during the Kosovo crisis, and a country which was on the brink of what was inevitably going to be a bloody civil war. NATO immediately responded to the president's request and within a week produced a draft plan for the collection of weapons from the armed insurgents. The North Atlantic Council approved the plan on the 20th of June, and I was able to submit an early proposal to President Trajkovski for weapons collection. At that time, however, we agreed a set of four preconditions which would have to be met for the 30-day deployment to take place. Firstly, a political agreement signed by the main parliamentary leaders. Secondly, a status of forces agreement with Macedonia and agreed conditions for the task force. Thirdly, an agreed plan for weapons collection, including an explicit agreement by the ethnic Albanian armed groups to disarm. And fourthly, an enduring ceasefire. This initiative was endorsed by the political leaders of Macedonia, and NATO, at the request of the president and the parliament of Macedonia, began to chart the way ahead, including the opening of communication channels with the various parties. My personal representative, Peter Feit, has played an outstanding role in this regard. The result is that today, the North Atlantic Council has given authority to the Supreme Allied Commander, Europe, to deploy Task Force Harvest and to start collecting and destroying the weapons of the ethnic Albanian insurgents. This decision, however, is not the end of the road. It is one part of a process which will see the implementation of the historic agreement signed by the leaders of the political parties on the 13th of August. The conclusion of the process, the ratification of the proposed constitutional changes, is now in the hands of the people of the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia and of their leaders. The political agreement is theirs to implement, and I fully expect them to meet their commitments to do that. The country and its future is in their hands. The decision made today by this alliance is the right one, but it's also been a difficult one. There are risks involved. We recognize that. But members of the alliance have nevertheless agreed to send their troops, because they know that the risks of not sending them are far greater. The advice of the Supreme Allied Commander Europe, General Ralston, and of NATO's military committee was that the situation on the ground is operationally permissive and that any delay in deployment would only increase the risks involved. There will be trying times ahead, I know. Some extremists and hardliners will, of course, try to derail this agreement. But I have a message today for those who have faith in the future and who do not want war, those who are builders and not destroyers. NATO is coming to Macedonia to help you and to build a better future in a modern Europe with you. And I have a message for those who believe in a violent or in a military solution, and I say this to them: there is no solution in violence. There is only death, destruction, misery, and poverty. A civil war in Macedonia would be a bloodbath and solve nothing. The decision made today by the North Atlantic Council was a very positive one. The legitimate democratic representatives of the people of Macedonia can count on NATO's commitment to assist them on the road to peace and stability. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. We'll start with questions. Jeff, please.
Jeff Ulbrich, AP. You say one of the four preconditions was an explicit agreement by the ethnic Albanians to disarm. What exactly do you mean by that, and how many arms are we talking about? Has that been determined yet?
The explicit agreement is in writing that they will hand over their weapons to NATO forces, that they will disarm. Separately, they have also said that they will disband. But the collection of weapons is our mission, no more, no less, from those who have agreed to disarm. And we must have confidence that those who have given their word will go ahead and do so. The number of weapons is not something that I'm willing to go into at the moment. We are assessing the estimates that have been put forward by the ethnic Albanian armed groups at the moment. The total will have to be realistic. It will also have to be based on quantity and quality of the armaments to be put over. The estimates are being examined at the moment by the commandos on the ground, but I'm not engaged, are going to get engaged in some numbers game at this stage.
David Shookman, BBC. You've talked about the risks. How worried are you that the mission may last longer in the end than the 30 days planned, and how worried are you that its mandate may have to be escalated because of unforeseen events?
I'm confident that the time that has been laid down has been thought through. This is not some figure spirited out of thin air. It is an estimate based on the military experience of those who have been there and those who have put forward the outline plan. So I'm confident that we can achieve that target within the time limit. It, of course, goes side by side with the parliamentary ratification process of the constitutional changes promised by the elected representatives of the Macedonian people. And that side-by-side agreement is obviously very important. They have set themselves a target in the agreement of 45 days from signature of the agreement, which was last Monday. And I expect that we will be able to collect the arms if the assurances that have been given to us are right. There are, of course, risks involved in a volatile situation at the present moment, but I believe that the actor today will help to contribute to a more stable situation. But I think we all have to bear in mind that without NATO playing its part in this peace plan, then the prospects for Macedonia would be grim indeed. And the likelihood of a civil war, which has loomed over the last few months, would become very real indeed. And the people of the Balkans know only too well from the experience in Bosnia and in Kosovo just what the costs are in terms of human life. So NATO is willing to help the government of Macedonia on its request to help them at a time of trouble and to help them get through this crisis and to build peace and lasting security.
Kurt Gerhardt, West German Radio. If in the process of collecting arms you come to the conclusion that this evidently isn't it, that the number is not satisfying, that you are getting the wrong quality of arms, say only old useless arms, is there any way that for new initiatives from your side to give more honesty and substance to these activities?
Our commitment is to collect the arms that have been declared. We're not in the business of detective work. We're not in the business of going out and searching for arms. The role that we have been asked to play by the Macedonian government is one of collecting arms from ethnic Albanian armed groups who have said that they will disarm and that they will hand over their weapons and hand them over only to NATO forces. So the totals that are produced, as I say, have to be realistic, and they have to be a mixture of both quantity and quality to have that degree of credibility. But this is part of a longer-term process. If the armed groups are not going to deliver on their commitments, then clearly the situation will become very different inside that country. But this is a sovereign nation state whose government, all-party government, and government of national unity has asked NATO to do something very specific, and that is to collect the weapons, the declared weapons of these armed groups, and that is what we will do. No more, no less.
Daniel Dombey, Financial Times. I'm wondering if you've taken any concrete steps to speed up deployment, if we're still talking about 48 hours plus 10 days for full deployment. And secondly, I'm wondering, given that the NLA may not have the strongest incentives to hurry up in handing over those weapons, if there are indications that a voluntary process isn't quite complete at the end of those 30 days, would you consider extending the mission even slightly?
Well, the North Atlantic Council, of course, reserves the right to make its assessments as this whole process goes on. But it did not frivolously adopt the figure of 30 days for this operation. I think it would be very difficult to find a consensus for an extension of that. But neither do I see a need at the present moment to be considering that extension, given the assessments that have been made on the spot, both by General Ralston and by the others who have been deployed over the last week. Are we speeding up the deployment? Well, the deployment will start now. It will start this afternoon, and it will take place at the normal speed within the time objectives that have already been laid down. It is the view of the commander that he wants to be able to start the weapons collection at some point early next week. He's confident that the deployment can take place in that time. But remember, of course, that this is a multinational deployment. There are a large number of nations who can only move when the activation order is issued, as it was at 12 o'clock, and they will be making steps now to get their troops very quickly into theatre. But as I say, the commander is confident that he can start the weapons collection sometime at the beginning of next week. When we talk about the motives involved here, then I think you've got to bear in mind the fact that these armed groups have said that they set out with their route of violence in order to achieve political changes in the country. In fact, the political changes were agreed not with them, but with the parliamentary leadership of the four parties who make up about 90% of the Macedonian parliament. But the fact is that the armed groups have said that their objectives are now satisfied by that agreement. But that agreement will only come into place when the arms are handed in. So that is their motivation. If their motivation was to get the changes, they can only get the changes when the weapons are actually delivered to NATO. So I think that there is quite a considerable incentive there for them to deliver as they have promised to deliver.
Question, please? No? Then if no more questions, sorry, at the back there.
Oliver Tanzer from ORF, Austrian Radio and Television. What happens if the troops are being attacked?
They will respond. They have normal rules of engagement. They are allowed to defend themselves. They will do so robustly. That is standard practice for any deployed force.
Okay, well, maybe one last gentleman there.
Just again, does the 3,500 take into account the 500 Germans, and are there contingency plans if the Bundestag does not agree to send the German deployment?
Of course, it includes the German contingents. I'm not anticipating that there is going to be a problem in the Bundestag, but this is a 19-nation alliance, which makes its contributions based on fourth-generation conferences, so it does not depend on any individual nation in particular at any time. But I would say that the record of Germany in supplying troops to NATO's Balkan operations has been outstanding. I can think of no reason why the Bundestag would not want to be involved in this important mission, part and parcel of this agreement, which is designed to prevent a bloodbath. You know, this is the groundbreaking nature of what is happening today, that this is the international community, NATO in particular, acting before the conflict really gets into the difficult stages. So I think that's a very persuasive argument that will be listened to, I think, in all of the parliaments who have to consider and make decisions on the deployment of troops for Operation Essential Harvest.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. Au revoir.